We own this country.
We own it. And it's not you owning it and not politicians owning it. Politicians are employees of ours. And they're just going to come around and beg for votes every few years, and it's the same old deal. But I just think that it's important that you realize that whether you're Democrat or whether you're a Republican or whether you're Libertarian or whatever, when somebody does not do the job, we've got to let them go.
When your entire culture is under attack, you need the country's number one voice in defense of our American way of life. You need an ally in the fight against tyranny and corruption. You need your weekly dose of Lisa Payne Nager. Missouri Grassroots Radio Network proudly adds our own beauty to America the Beautiful, your own culture vigilante, Ms. Lisa Payne Nager.
Welcome to Missouri Grassroots Radio. This is Wednesday evening. This is Lisa Payne Nager. You are listening to Culture Vigilante. I am joined here this evening once again by Cindy McGee of Show Me Patriots and Caroline Miller, the Grassroots Tea Party News Junkie. Welcome, ladies. Thanks for being with me tonight.
Thanks for having us.
Hello.
Hello.
Maybe I'm not joined by Cindy McGee and Caroline Miller, but they are hanging in the background because I see them on the board. Anyway, we're kind of flying by the seat of our pants tonight. Kind of intentionally left the spot open this week to kind of talk about the Blue Way. We're going to spend a lot of time talking about the National Blue Way because next week is the big deadline. I think the end of next week, it either goes or it either stays or it goes. I mean, they're either going to adopt it or they're not, and we've made some progress. We're going to talk about, you know, the progress that we've made and the repercussions from maybe not making enough progress, whatever. Peter Kinder's going to come on with us. I got a call from him last night. There are some developments in the Department of Revenue scandal. If you are a news junkie like most of us are, you were logged on to the Missouri Torch today. They live streamed the hearings. I listened to the first 2 hours. I haven't heard the last part of it yet of the hearings. Boy, that ought to be interesting, folks. I have a lot to say about that from just what I've heard in the first 2 hours of these hearings and this investigation. I'm not feeling warm and fuzzy about it. But anyway, Peter Kinder's going to come on in a little while, and he's going to give us some information on that and maybe also talk a little bit about the Blue Way. We have some breaking news. Caroline's been doing a lot of digging over the last week or so on the Blue Way issue, and there are a lot of bigger names now getting involved in this issue and making a stand. So, and Peter Kinder is one of those people, so we'll talk to him about what he thinks about the Blue Way. Otherwise, I am exhausted. I don't know about you guys, but I'm just tired, you know. There's just too much going on. There, you know, between all of the scandals coming out of the White House, all of the ridiculous court rulings coming out of the Supreme Court, all of the scandals coming out of our own state, because we've been the target of a lot of stuff this year. You know, gun rights, this Department of Revenue scandal, privacy issues. I'm just tired. I am tired. I ran into somebody today. I was out running errands, mailing a package, and I ran into somebody, you know, same thing. You know, they listen to the show. They're involved in, you know, the Facebook thing, you know, the Patriot Movement out here in Missouri, and they're just tired. You know, they're just, everybody's kind of backing off because they're just, they fought it for so long and so hard, and it doesn't seem like we're getting anywhere. What do you guys think?
That seems to be the case. However, on the Blue Way issue, I'm pretty excited about all the counties that have signed on. To date, we have 15 of the 21 affected Missouri counties have signed on to the resolution, basically, which is against the Blue Way. And those 15 counties would be Barry, Butler, Dent, Howell, Lawrence, Oregon, Ozark, Reynolds, Shannon, Stone, Taney, Texas, Wayne, Webster, and Wright County. And
which
so
is
that
pretty
only
impressive,
leaves,
if you think, that, yeah, this, that the fight against it, nobody knew about it a month ago. And it's been about a month, and nobody knew about it a month ago. We didn't know about it a month ago. And we found out about it and organized through the grassroots, and people have gone, physically gone to the to these counties to speak to the authorities in each of these counties, and 15 out of 21 have signed on. That's pretty impressive work.
Right. So that only leaves six left to go, and those six counties would be Carter, Christian, Douglas, Green, Iron, and Ripley. And actually, tomorrow morning at 9:30, both Green County and Christian County have their Blue Way presentation resolution meetings. That's at 9:30 tomorrow morning, and we're, you know, trying to get as many people as we can to show up to those meetings, especially the one in Green County, because I received word that they're expecting a great deal of supporters for the Blue Way that are going to be showing up there tomorrow morning and filling themselves as quote-unquote master gardeners.
So what is this, a master gardener situation? What does that mean? Do we know what that means?
No, not really. Well, I guess
better than you pull weeds? What is that?
I don't know.
Cindy, do you know?
I don't know.
A master gardener is someone who is exactly what it says, a master gardener. I don't have a clue what that could possibly have to do with the Blue Wave.
Is there some kind of governmental certification that you have to go through to get that title?
No.
I don't think so, but I don't know. I would assume that's something, some kind of title you get in, as a horticulturist. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I have,
something like
so
that.
So why would a master gardener be in favor of the Blue Way? I guess it's, I mean, I think I even know some people who are master gardeners, and I'm not thinking that that's a title that they carry because they're especially green, you know, green-oriented with these.
Well, it's probably they're under the guise of master gardener, you know. They probably really aren't. They're just probably calling themselves master gardeners because the person that sent that email has master gardeners in quotation marks. So I'm assuming that they're not really what they seem.
I'm going to be trying to pull some wool over people's eyes tomorrow.
Yeah. Speaking of pulling wool.
I mean, with that said, you know, we're looking for, you know, to encourage a lot of people to show up at both Christian County and Green County. As far as I know, the meetings will be at the courthouses in those counties. So I don't have the address, but I guess if you just go to Green County Courthouse or Christian County Courthouse at 9:30 tomorrow morning, we just need as many people to show up as possible.
Right. It's important to make a showing at these things because it does matter. It does influence the outcome of these meetings for sure, especially when people don't generally show up to them in the first place. So that would be very important.
Right.
So what do you guys think? Go ahead.
Well, and I was going to say, and up until now, I think with all these other meetings, it's just been our people that have showed up. But I guess word has gotten out. So now the supporters of the Blue Way are coming out in force. So it's even more important.
I that's happened before, too, because I remember, you know, during Tea Party, you know, when we were all standing on street corners and stuff, you know, I'm out here in St. Charles County, and, you know, I stood out on the street corner with the K&M Patriots, and in the very beginning, you know, we were very strong, we had a lot of people out there, and the other side came out, they would pay their union workers to come stand on the other side of the street corner to stand in opposition of us, and they were far fewer in support, and they didn't have the staying power. They'd go out, they were out there for 2 or 3 weeks, and they were gone. So I'm really thinking, you know, if this is the same thing along those same lines, it's not going to be a very big deal. But you never know, because they will, you know, this is a huge progressive agenda. They'll do whatever they have to do to make their case. So you need to make sure that you show up in force so that they don't make their showing. Absolutely. Okay, so just before Peter Kuhner comes on, let's talk a little bit. I mean, we talked a little bit before the show. None of us have been reading very deeply into the Supreme Court decisions, but we have been kind of keeping one eye on it. So today, marriage is no longer a sacred institution in the United States. and some of the information. We've been just skimming over some information that's been coming out in the last few hours. Some of it says it's not a big deal. It's not going to affect the institution of marriage very much. And then there's some information coming out that, yeah, it's pretty widespread, and it's huge, and it pretty much knocks the legs out from under it, and it's going to snowball into a big way. Caroline, you posted an article earlier today, and we're all going to have – it's going to take a few days for us to read through all these articles and sort them out and come to a conclusion on it. But bench memos from
National Review Online, and it was written by Dr. Hadley Arks of Amherst College.
I haven't even taken the time to do the research on this, but I would love to know. I wish there was just some very nice, concise. I would love to see how these things have broken on all of these decisions, which justices went which way, you know, in a nice, concise way. And it always seems to be Kennedy against Alito.
Mm-hmm.
And everything. I mean, this article that you posted today, Caroline, was exactly that same thing. Kennedy against Alito. Kennedy, what in the heck happened to Kennedy? Well, I have a feeling I know what happened to Kennedy, but he has just gone so, he's driven a bus so far left, he's going to fall off the edge of the earth.
Yeah, well.
Well, I think it's going to have far-reaching effects that we can't really know at this point. I heard David Martin being interviewed on a radio show earlier today, and he was pointing out that as far as our military goes, this is going to have a profound effect, because the pastors, the military chaplains, have been they've been defending them against having to perform same-sex marriages based on DOMA, and this ruling today struck down that defense.
So are we going to have same-sex marriages in the military?
It's worse than that. We're not only going to have same-sex marriage in the military, but we're going to have ministers in the military that are going to be forced to perform those ceremonies.
Well, everybody's going to be
now have been able to opt out, but
everybody's
going to
be forced to it.
Sure.
But
that was one of the things that David Barton pointed out today. They've used DOMA, the Defense of Marriage Act, to protect those pastors from being forced by the military, by the government, to perform those wedding ceremonies. And with this ruling today by the Supreme Court, his take on that was that would destroy that defense that defense that they've had, and that they would now be able to force them to perform those marriages.
So basically what this does is it opens the door for the government to walk into your religion.
Correct.
Pretty much. I mean, it's not just about marriage. It's not just about civil unions. It's not just about homosexuals. And this has nothing to do with marriage. This is about knocking the wheels out from under so many other issues in the country.
Well,
this is about family issues. It's about homosexuality and gay issues.
Right.
It's not about marriage.
The other thing too that this Hadley Arks pointed out in the article that Caroline posted. Is that Justice Kennedy's hate speech offering itself as the opinion of the court. In other words, they've tied all of these efforts to curb same-sex marriage in the states and so forth and so on. What Justice Kennedy did was he tied all of the hate speech law to this DOMA Act in striking it down. And he's basically accusing anyone who speaks out against same-sex marriage, opposing it, be it a legislator, be it whoever, as being guilty of hate speech.
That's what we need.
Which is a serious problem. If that's true and that holds up, then we're really in trouble on this one. Yeah, we really are.
I just do not know how many. There's just not much left. I mean, the Obama administration has pretty much hit us like a steamroller since the re-election on every front.
Right. And, you know, Lisa, going back to what you started with at the beginning of the show, when you said you're just tired, I have to concur. I feel the same way. My level of involvement is not what it once was. I'm still very involved, but not – it's changed. And, you know, the military has a term for what we've been experiencing over the last 4.5 years. 5 years. And in the war theater, it's called shock and awe.
Mm.
And you keep the enemy so covered up with fire that they can't raise their heads to assess the situation successfully.
Yeah.
And it's a very effective tool. And just to put it in military terms, I think that we have all been subjected to a massive shock and awe treatment by our federal government over the past 5 years. And it is wearing us down. It does, and that's the purpose of it. It's to break the will.
Yeah, I think that they absolutely have. Almost everybody I talk to that has been very active in this fight for probably since the inception of the Tea Party has pretty much they're just kind of standing there with blank looks on their faces, like, you know, where do you go from here? It's just so ridiculous. And the legislators, even the Republicans, know that. And that was, I think, part of the point. You know, I think they contributed to that in a great way, to where, you know, there's just no way to fight it. And it's kind of scary, because last week's show was all about the militias that are forming. There is an undercurrent out there across the country. People are thinking militia now. You know, they're no longer thinking that you're going to be able to vote this problem out of the way. You know, people are really seriously considering taking up arms.
You know, I think back over the 30 years that I've been involved in politics and contacting legislators and staying aware of certain issues and being on top of it, and I've watched the battles that we've lost over that 30-year period. And one of the things that, to my mind, has become unique for this particular time is there's not even a facade being put on by the majority of our elected to even acknowledge the presence of the people and the voice that we're speaking out with against some of these things. And all of our efforts have really, if you want to know the truth, they've fallen short of the mark. No matter how hard we work or we try, it's just like it's never enough. And it doesn't get the job done. We keep laboring under this idea that we've accomplished something, and what have we really accomplished? I think of Prop C. It's not protecting us against Obamacare. There's not a thing there to protect us from what's coming down the pike this fall.
And do you think that it was ever meant to, Cindy? Now that we look back and after all that fight, and now that we, you know, the armchair quarterback 2020 hindsight thing, do you think it ever was?
Well, I think a lot of people, myself included, we innocently thought that it would.
Yeah, we believed it at the time.
Correct. And I think that the real problem is we depended on legislators to know what they were doing, and they don't when it comes to making laws and to making them work and to putting teeth in them that can really come back and bite back against something like this. There are no teeth in this. Where's the mechanism to really protect us from anything?
Let me throw another perspective out there. Let me throw another perspective out there. I mean, if it's your perspective that the legislators don't know what they're doing, I think it's my perspective that they do. I think that they do know what they're doing. I think that we run up against that every day with legislators, that they don't. We ask them to put teeth in legislation, and we just don't see it.
Right, and you could be right. And maybe it's a case of they know what they're doing to further their political careers. They don't know what they're doing to write effective legislation.
Right. Yeah.
I don't have the answer. I just know that it's not working, and I know that everything that's been Peter Kinder is going to be on here. Lieutenant Governor Peter Kinder is going to be on shortly to talk about the DOR situation. We have laws in Missouri that should have preempted this from ever happening and this being used and things being handled the way that they have. But what's really happening about that? We're just writing letters. We're just making noise, and they're just continuing to do it. All of that equipment is still in place. They're still using it. People's information is being collected. It's already been shared twice with federal agencies that they had no business sharing it with. And yet we have legislation in place in Missouri, we have law in place in Missouri that should have preempted this, should have prevented it from happening, and it didn't. And now that the law has been broken, where's the retribution? Where is the fallout for the people who committed the crime? Because, quite frankly, a crime's been committed.
Mm-hmm. No. Yeah, absolutely no question.
So what happened? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. We're just talking a lot, and people are making political hay with it, but are we being protected? No. Is anything being done to make this right? Is anything being done to make the people who did this pay for it? No.
Well, that's my...
That's what I want to see.
Yeah, that's my contention, too, is that absolutely nothing is being done to fix this problem. And, you know, I intend to ask the Lieutenant Governor if he decides to come on tonight. He's running a little late. You know, we're doing all this investigation. You know, we've already got laws in place that should have taken care of this. You know, are these investigations just kind of a sleight of hand to keep us off balance? I mean, I listened to the hearings today on the podcast. You can go to Missouri Torch, by the way, if you don't know about that. Go to MissouriTorch.com, and they've got the podcast right up there on the homepage there. You can listen to everything that's going on, and I can see the handwriting on the wall. I mean, what they're going to do here is they're going to say, oh, you know, we need this to prevent fraud, and since we didn't comply with the entire all the points of Real ID, then it's not Real ID, and we really didn't break the law, and I think that's how they're going to get around it, to be honest with you. But you know, it's like you said a few minutes ago, why are they not backing the trucks up to the DOR offices, taking this equipment out, because it's all illegal? And I'll tell you what, if the governor doesn't sign this bill, what is it, SB 252, and it goes into effect, I mean, that's even another nail in the coffin. I mean, it spells it out very clearly in that bill that they cannot scan documents and they cannot take biometric data photographs, and all their equipment is, you know, scanning documents and biometric data photography. What are they going to do?
If the governor doesn't sign that bill, then my next question is, we have a veto-proof legislature this year currently that's going to come back for a veto session. And I want to know what they're planning to do to stand up and make it stick.
Right,
when that
exactly.
Veto, when that veto session starts, are they going to come back and override the governor's veto so that it does become law? So that arguably we may have some way to defend ourselves against this? Are they going to have the backbone and the resolve to make that happen? Or are they going to wimp out and just blame Nixon and say, well, we need a Republican governor so that this kind of stuff doesn't happen?
Well,
that's
what I think is happening here. I think since we are fastly approaching election season, from what I have seen coming out of these folks, coming from the Speaker of the House, especially the Speaker of the House, this is all about running, even though Nixon's not running again, this is all about running against Nixon and Democrat policy. They're just laying the foundation for a campaign season in 2014 and 2016.
Okay.
And
now,
you know,
have either of you read the anti-Agenda 21 bill? I have to admit I haven't. So
the one passed by Lyle Roland, or not Lyle Roland, it was a co-bill from Roland and Nieves, yes.
Right. Has anybody read that? I mean, to see if that really has any teeth in it?
Oh, there's no teeth in it. No teeth in it whatsoever.
No. And the thing about it is, Caroline, is there's nothing retroactive in there that would go back.
Right.
If, say, Blue Way goes through, it isn't going to have an impact on that. So, no, there really aren't any teeth in it. It's just feel-good legislation. It's Yankee Doodle.
Right.
It's Yankee Doodle legislation.
Okay. Yeah. And actually, and like so many other pieces of legislation, and this, I mean, and it was modeled off the Alabama legislation. So it's you know, people are doing this all over the country. While it's great that you're raising awareness about what Agenda 21 is, because most people don't know what it is, and even the legislators don't know what it is, that's great. What really bothers me is what this does, it throws it all back to the courts. So if there's any violation, it's just an open invitation for more lawsuits, and that's how you fight it.
Right, and we've seen how well going to the courts for redress of grievances is working for us, haven't we?
Yes, and you know, that to me is egregious in itself. No legislator should circumvent their responsibility in writing legislation by intentionally setting up a situation where you're putting more crap into the courts. I mean, it just it should never happen. And most of the legislation that I see like that is written specifically to do that very thing. And most of it is written for, it's slap on the hand, misdemeanor offense kind of stuff, too. There were a couple of bills that went through last session that were, you know, if they violate, it's misdemeanor this or misdemeanor that. And it's just, you know, I'm sorry. That's just ridiculous. If you're going to write the legislation, write it to have some teeth in it, write it to do some good, and quit throwing stuff back to the courts.
You know, misdemeanor is basically just the cost of doing business for a lot of people.
Yeah, pretty much. You know, there's no real teeth in it, nothing
to see there, folks. Just move on.
Nope.
And a lot of people will factor that in and they'll continue to do it. And you know, and also, if you look at what happened this week with everything else that's been going on. I guess we're going to have a carbon tax now by executive fiat.
Carbon tax.
So how do we fight that? Yeah, Obama's speech the other day on the environment and how he's tired of waiting for people to do the right thing on the environment. So he's going to do what they have failed to do in Congress through executive fiat by signing executive orders. Yep.
Oh, you're kidding.
Welcome to the brave new world. Fighting this Agenda 21 stuff, and a whole lot of the stuff, that this environmental stuff, is nothing but it's steeped in Agenda 21 and controlling the actions of the people, the companies, et cetera. And, you know, we're a coal-powered state. That's going to have a huge impact on us.
So we'll have to be probably dependent on waivers from the government because, I mean, that's what will have to happen. Our legislature will go crawling on their hands and knees to the federal government for waivers, which will come with strings attached, which will be an even more of a larger encroachment on states' rights. Oh, my God. It just never ends.
And the people who are going to be hurt the most by this stuff are going to be the people – they're going to be you and I, Lisa and Caroline. They're going to be us, the people who can't afford those huge jumps in your utility bills. So we're all scraping by as it is. We're all floundering under the massive inflation that we're experiencing that nobody's talking about.
Yeah.
And that's going to just be compounding here pretty quick. And so, and now we have a president who, once again, without any action from Congress, to do anything to stop him by executive fiat is going to shove this down people's throats.
Yeah, actually, on Facebook just now, Ted Starnes posted a status where he says, Republican-appointed Supreme Court justices. Are you there?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm hearing an echo. Okay, so Tad Starnes on Facebook just posted that Republican-appointed Supreme Court justices outlawed prayer in school, legalized abortion, legalized Obamacare, and struck down the Defense of Marriage Act. What does that tell you? Those were all Republican-appointed Supreme Court justices that did that.
Right. So
outlawed prayer, legalized abortion, legalized Obamacare, and struck down the Defense of Marriage Act. Wow.
I think that speaks volumes, and it says a lot about Caroline, about the logic of continuing to do the same thing over and over again and expect a different result. It says a lot about continuing to codify a party that I hear a phone ringing. It says a lot of.
Answer it. I don't know. What the heck? I don't think it's mine.
I think I fixed it. It says a lot about. It says a lot about how that's not working for us, in that we have That is just crazy. Sorry, folks, if you're hearing a phone ringing, we don't know why or whose phone it is. Oh, the wonders of
now,
the
sorry.
Technology.
I'm trying to call Peter Kinder. I'm sorry about that. He's not calling in.
Oh, okay. And he's not answering his phone.
Oh.
Okay, well, that's just crazy. So,
okay.
I don't know.
Sorry,
that's
ladies.
Really
I guess I can't do two things at once. Go ahead. Yeah, so, you know, I don't know what to say about that, actually.
Maybe we scared him off.
Oh, she listened to the show and heard me going on a rant about the VR situation. Where are the teeth?
Yeah.
Well, okay, so let's talk about this. Did anybody get to hear the podcast today on the Missouri Torch? Did you guys watch it?
No, sorry.
Okay. So here's what I got out of it. Okay, the Department of Revenue and the Jackie Benboom, I think, is who they had on the grill today. Department of Revenue, they have multiple documents now. This committee has multiple documents from the Department of Revenue that suggest or actually say that that they were working with or working under the guise or under the guidelines of the Real ID Act. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And they had Jackie Benboom on for 2 hours. I've watched the first 2 hours of it, and they grilled her pretty well, you know. And she's not answering the questions. I mean, she's been coached very carefully. You can tell by the way she gives her answers, and she's very adamant. We're not operating under Real ID, but they have authored a checklist inside the department of all of the items that are part of Real ID and what part of those, which of those items that they are complying with, which is most of them. But since they have not complied with all of them, they are not complying with Real ID in their opinion. So that's how they're going to get around it. And a large part of the testimony today was all about how we need this offsite. I can't remember the terminology that they used, instead of what they call over-the-counter licensure, the way we've been used to getting our, you know, going in, getting our picture taken, they give you your license. They need this off-site because they need to avoid fraudulent licenses being issued. And I did hear Peter Kinder on an earlier radio show today talk about that they were issuing many false IDs. Illegal immigrants were going into St. Joseph, Missouri, and there was a lot of false IDs being issued out of that office. So that's going to be their excuse, is that we have to have this off-site licensing system so that we can thwart all of the issuances of these real IDs and have them mailed to you. They need all of this. They need to have your data so that they can check it when you're not there against the information that you're giving them and determine whether or not to mail you your driver's license is pretty much what it boils down to. So, I mean, I can see the writing on the wall. They're not going to do anything about this. And my biggest question that I was going to ask the lieutenant governor was, okay, so you've got these big committees assigned, you know, thank God Tim Jones has appointed another committee because, you know, what would it be without that? So we've got these committees assigned. You know, it's taking months and months and months for these things to, you know, for these people to gather information. And what are they going to do with the information once they get it? You know, how are they going to stop? You know, how are they going to stop? I mean, ever since March, they've been taking all of this information, collecting people's personal data. You know, nobody's trying to put an end to it. And let's play devil's advocate. Let's say they absolutely determine that something illegal has gone on and that it's wrong. What are they going to do with it? Do you think that anybody in the state legislature or anybody in any position of power right now is going to do anything about it? Do you think they're going to take those machines out of those offices? Do you think they're going to charge anybody with a felony or any criminal activity? What are they going to do? They're just going to ride this pony all the way to November 2014 and fly that flag and say, look at those bad Democrats. Don't ever vote Democrat again. You know,
mm-hmm.
and the fact that we have a veto-proof majority in the House and the Senate,
mm-hmm.
you know, which is, it's going to be fun to watch and see. And I can't wait for veto session to start. And I'm gonna pop popcorn and I'm gonna sit back and just watch.
Mm-hmm.
all of these vetoes are just gonna go up in smoke. They're not gonna do anything. So and I think that's what's gonna happen. They're gonna ride the pony all the way to 2014 elections, and they're gonna fly that banner, and they're gonna run against Jay Nixon for the next 4 years.
Yep. You're exactly right. Unfortunately, you're right. And unfortunately, the people are going to lose. It's our liberty that's being destroyed. It's our right to privacy. It is our right to due process. It's our right to a lot of things that is being completely and utterly destroyed by what's happening. And what recourse do we have? A citizen's lawsuit, perhaps?
Oh, what are you going to do? You know, who's going to take that up? You know, it's horrible and it's scary because last week we talked a lot about militias, but I think that there's people are going to start getting sick and tired of this not being able to do anything.
Yeah,
you know?
I think there's a real danger there too. I agree
I do too.
With it that people are reaching the boiling point and I'm not so sure that it's not what the government wants.
Right.
Do you think we're going to push them? Oh, that's not a good sign.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I don't know. That's just something that I thought about. But at the same, on the other hand, you know, we've been here before. We were here 200 years ago.
Yeah, it's a different world now. They didn't have drones 200 years ago. You just had to be able to load your musket really quickly 200 years ago. Now they've got drones.
You had to be a good marksman 200 years ago, really good at using your personal weapon. No, this is true. And it is a different world that we're living in right now. It's a much more dangerous world, especially for people who do want to rise up and stand toe-to-toe with a government that is completely overstepping its bounds. And we have a constitution that we can point to and say, no, you should not be doing this. It's thus, thus, and thus. You can't do this. And yet you are, and we're enough. We've had enough. We're not going to do this anymore. We're returning to the constitution. But we don't have the ability that our forefathers did. It's a much scarier world that we're living in. They have resources that we don't have. So in that regard, it's pretty difficult to think about going down that road, but I think that people are being driven to that point.
Yeah, that is scary. Okay, let's take a quick break, and we'll come back and we'll hit the high points of the Blue Way, and we'll go from there.
It really is time for the people of America to take up pitchforks.
Hey, free market capitalist Missouri business owners, show Missouri and the rest of the country what hardworking, successful entrepreneurship looks like by advertising your business on Missouri Grassroots Radio. Get your message out to liberty-loving citizens who want to support liberty-loving capitalists. Target this unique and widespread market with your business's unique and valuable products and services. Contact us at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org for details.
You need to check against the federal database to make sure the numbers on the cards aren't forged or real. But what really Congress needs to do is to use a biometric technology to create a new tamper-proof identification card for every legal foreign worker. That's what we need. We need a tamper-proof card.
So dear, for peace so sweet, as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery. Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
We're back. This is Lisa Payne Nager on Missouri Grassroots Radio. You're listening to Culture Vigilante. I'm here with Cindy McGee of Show Me Patriots and Caroline Miller, and we are talking all kinds of things tonight. Missouri scandals, Department of Revenue, and the biggest issue that is closely approaching a serious deadline next week is the White River Watershed National Blueway. Missouri and Arkansas are fighting a big battle. We have a deadline, I think, of July 5th of next week.
July
6th was a Saturday.
Okay. So that's what I've heard, July 6th, and then I've heard other people say July the 9th. So it's either one of the two. But
okay, it's coming up, folks.
We only have about a week.
Okay, so next week in July, we have the opportunity to fight off the overreaching, ever-encroaching, big, long arm of the government who wants to come over and take over one-fifth of the southern part of Missouri and at least a third of the northern part of Arkansas, because they want to mandate and facilitate the watershed areas down in Table Rock Lake and Bull Shoals Lake and the White River, and control that, and that's never a good thing. We had Jim Fisher on a couple of weeks ago, if you heard the show, a longtime resident of southern Missouri. His family was here before the before Missouri became a state, and told us of how the government took over 1,000 acres of their land, and now they're left with about 100 acres of property. And today, here in 2013, the federal government is doing again. Caroline, you have been just a bulldog on this issue. You have more information about this White River watershed issue than anybody I know, and you've been out there putting information all over the place. So let's talk again one more time. We've got some very important meetings tomorrow morning. Tell me again about that meeting.
Right. We have Greene County and Christian County. They're having their Blue Way meeting tomorrow morning at 9:30, so we need as many people to show up to those as possible. And also, I've gotten some late breaking news, but I haven't been able to verify it, so I'm almost reluctant to say this. But somebody posted on one of the Facebook pages for the White River Watershed National Blue Way. They said, yay, a mini victory today in Little Rock. The stakeholders tied to the Blue Ways Initiative have withdrawn their support. The powers that be have recommended that the initiative be terminated. But however, this person does warn that we still need the resolutions of opposition to continue in the counties that have not yet passed it. It's not over yet. And these the 26 stakeholders, I was looking at the listing, it's like a bunch of federal agencies, state and local agencies, and then also non-governmental organizations that are all involved in this National Blue Ways thing. On the federal level, you have like U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, the USDA, the National Park Service, and then on a state and local level, you have the Missouri Department of Conservation that's involved in this, Arkansas Game and Fish Commission, Arkansas Waterways Association, and then you have a bunch of these non-governmental organizations like Ducks Unlimited, the Audubon Society in both Missouri and Arkansas, the Arkansas Canoe Club, Greenway Equipment Company. So anyway, you have all these, there's like 26 stakeholders that are pushing for this Blue Way designation. But like I said, I've gotten late breaking news that it looks like these stakeholders are withdrawing their support. And they're recommending that the initiative, this whole Blue Ways initiative, be terminated. But like I said, I have not been able to verify that yet, so I'm kind of reluctant to celebrate.
Okay, my question about that is, why would these stakeholders withdraw their support? That's what I question. Is it just bad PR for them?
Yeah, it could be, because, I mean, you have people or politicians like, you know, Senator Blunt writing to the Department of the Interior. You have Lukemeyer that's spoken out against this, Representative Billy Long, Jason Smith. Peter Kinder's now come out against it. Steve Womack of Arkansas. And then also I found out today that Missouri House of Representatives, Lyle Rowland, he's from Cedar Creek, and he's talking about drafting some kind of state house resolution. However, they're not in session right now, so I don't really know what good a state house resolution.
Yeah, what's that?
You know, what
not going to help us
do.
Much.
Yeah, not really.
Well,
and, I mean,
well,
it's, I mean,
a resolution is just feel good stuff anyway. It doesn't really.
Right, right.
I mean, good for him that he wants to do something, but even if we were in session, a resolution isn't going to stop this.
Here comes the 2014
right.
political vote.
<Yeah.
laughs>
That's right.
Get on the ground and get a little jaded.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So.
Well, okay.
So, like, the thing is that even if they pull out and this does help bring this thing to closure for now, it's still important for everyone to stay involved with these meetings and everything because, you know, I like the fact that Lisa asked the question, why are they pulling out? What's their motivation?
Right.
And their motivation is not the same as the federal government's in trying to implement this. And
right.
so while they may be pulling out, the federal government may still want to flex its muscle and assume this go ahead and do this, and there's tremendous power to be had by successfully getting this blue way through on the part of the federal government. We're talking about one-fifth of the state of Missouri, folks.
Right.
Yeah.
That will
and
be under federal control.
Was it like a third
of
Arkansas?
Right.
I mean, that's a huge piece of property for the federal government to control. And I mean, people
Absolutely.
Live there. And it's a tourist trade area. I mean, Table Rock Lake
right.
is huge for tourists.
Right.
I mean, what that would do to the economy, don't even tell me what that would do to the
right.
economy.
And if you look historically at what the federal government has done with these types of things, it does not bode well for any private property owners. It doesn't bode well for the tourist industry in Missouri, down in Branson, at Table Rock Lake, Bull Shoals Lake. I mean, and folks, they're not going to stop. This is just the beginning of what they're after.
Oh, yeah.
I promise you it's just the beginning. So it's very important that people stay involved. And Caroline, you know, I find it really curious that where are all the conservatives on this? Where are all of the conservative groups? Where's the St. Louis Tea Party? Where are some of these organizations and groups? Why aren't they all over this? This is huge.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't
know. I'm curious.
So yeah,
I ask myself that every day.
Yeah,
I mean, it's
a
question,
right? And you know, people, and even on a national level, this is should be a huge national story.
Yeah.
I'm not hearing Glenn Beck talk about things like this. I don't see it on Fox News, although I think Fox News did report on it once. But you know, I want to see some. You know, I want to see some stuff on this.
Right.
This is huge. And even the national bloggers are not, you know, where's Michelle Malkin? Where are the big people talking about stuff like this?
It's like, I mean, so much that they've done to bring Agenda 21 problems to the forefront and to make people aware of the dangers of Agenda 21. And this reeks. This is Agenda 21, people. It really is.
Right.
And the buck, this is just the beginning. This is just the first shot for Missouri and Arkansas. And, you know, we cannot afford to lose this fight.
Right. And, I mean, within the next 5 years, the plans are to designate another 5 blue ways up to a total of 25 throughout the whole country. So that's a lot.
Wow.
Yeah, 5 blue ways of the size of, at least the size of the blue way they're trying to get here in Missouri is a huge chunk of the country. That's huge.
Right.
Well, and Caroline, you've done far more on this than I have been able to do. But what I see here also is a backdoor ability for the federal government to control all of our waterways in the United States, period.
Right. I'm thinking Missouri River,
Complete
Mississippi River.
Complete and utter control.
Those have
got to
be the next blue way.
Correct. Because And you see, the thing about it is that some if you look at what they're already taking a grant for in Missouri, you look at all the little tributaries and lakes and headwaters and stuff that flow into that, those are going to, if Caroline, if I'm not mistaken, those can be, for lack of a better way to put it, kind of grandfathered into the Blue Way, if you will, just
right.
because they touch it.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Yeah.
So I don't know. It's pretty scary stuff.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
The whole state of Missouri, everything up and down along the Mississippi River is going to go, and
right.
the Missouri River. So, I mean,
right.
the whole central part of the country, it's gone.
Well, and
right.
I think also you've got to look at what could potentially happen to, for example, like the Ozarks and some of that also.
Right.
Because this Blue Way just barely misses, this time around it just barely misses the Lake of the Ozark region, which then is going to involve more rivers and more little tributaries and creeks and land. I mean, my gosh, then you're getting into farm country big time. Well, you already are with the Blue Way.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, and even if we defeat it this time, it'll rear its ugly head again in another few years, and they'll just call
right.
it something else. You know,
mm-hmm.
That's what they do. They'll just rename it.
Yeah. So basically, people like Ike Skelton and Jeannie Bullsworth in Arkansas have been working very hard over the last
yes.
2 or 3, 4 weeks maybe to put the word out there, to go to see separate counties and the authorities in these separate counties to get them to sign a resolution. And in Missouri, we've got 15 out of 21. And
right.
They've got a huge meeting tomorrow in Greene County that people need to show up for.
And
Christian County. And
right.
Let's see if I can pull up Ike's email address. If you want to email Ike and get information from him, he's been really great about it. mypoliticalmail.ike@gmail.com. You can still get in touch with Ike Skelton. He can give you information on where to go and what to do to help out in this initiative. A lot of work to be done yet, and hopefully we'll be successful by the end of next week, and we'll get these counties to sign these resolutions to not sign onto this Blue Way. But Caroline, do you have a list of all of the national elected and locally elected who have also decided to sign on and make a stand about? I mean, I know Peter Kinder has said he's writing a letter to somebody, I have no idea who, and Roy Blunt is writing
the Secretary of the Interior.
Okay, so if they write a letter to the Secretary of Interior, what does that do effectively?
Good question.
Are they riding the 2014 political pony again? Because
right.
if we don't succeed by next week, you can write all the letters you want, and we're done.
Right. Well, Senator Blunt sent out an immediate release today, and it says Senator Blunt calls on Obama administration to answer questions surrounding White River's designation as a national Blue Way. So he says. Quote, we are writing to obtain additional information regarding the National Blue Way system, and in particular, the department's decision to designate the White River in Arkansas and Missouri as a National Blue Way on January the 9th, 2013. After reviewing the NBS, which is National Blue Way System Program, and the White River designation process, we share many concerns regarding the NBS, generally, and the White River designation specifically. And then he goes on to say, the White River was designated without public comment, without adequate notice, without transparency from the federal government, and without clear evidence of broad public support. Our intention is to understand the department's plans and activities associated with the National Blue Way System and to find out whether there is an opt-out mechanism our states can use should they desire to exit the Blue Ways program.
Okay, so he's not asking for any kind of deadline on a response or any of that kind of. So here we go.
That's very,
while
very,
it's very nice. Yeah, it's very nice that these, you know, higher level elected officials have kind of jumped on this bandwagon and are bringing some attention to the issue. But again, nobody's asking for anything specific. No. You know,
right.
nobody's restraining orders. Nothing is being done. It's just
right.
Drawing attention to themselves. Kind of,
I think the strongest letter that I read was from Jason Smith. His was pretty good. I mean, he basically, you know, wants them to rescind the whole FluWays initiative program. Period. You know, so. His, I think, was worded strongly. Now, Steve Womack, who's a Republican in Arkansas, I think in the 3rd District of Arkansas, his was really weak. I mean, he just says, I believe a close and thorough examination is necessary to ensure the Blue Way designation does not establish any new or expand any existing protective statuses or regulations. While I have been assured by the Department of the Interior that this will not be the case, I, along with the other members of the Arkansas delegation, are carefully scrutinizing the practical implementation of the designation. And somebody on Facebook was very critical of his letter and said basically, you know, to him, we need you on our side. Not scrutinizing the implementation, but stopping the implementation. You know? So, I mean, now is, you know, they're saying, well, we need to ask questions and find out more about it. No, we just want to stop the damn thing, you know?
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Right.
It's Yankee Doodle.
Yankee Doodle came to town riding on a pony. Put a feather in his hand and called it macaroni.
That's what it is. Yankee Doodle.
I was doing a little joke.
I love that.
That's kind of what I'm thinking, you know, all of these, you know, higher level electeds, you know, I mean, it's great. You know, once the grassroots starts squeaking, you know,
right.
They call you, they write letters, you know, but they don't, you know, I'm going to record this next. There's a great, I put this video on a lot of posts that I have. You guys ever see the Chicken Ranch with Charles Durning and Burt Reynolds and Dolly? Have you seen that?
No.
He does a great. He's a politician. He's a Texas politician, and he does this Texas two-step song, you know, in the part of it, and it's just hilarious. And I've put that YouTube clip in so many of the posts that I write because it's all about sidestepping the issue. And that's my next thing that I'm gonna put on here.
Right.
It's the same thing.
That'll be good.
They're all riding the 2014 election pony straight into the election cycle. So, okay. Well, let's take another. You have something else, Caroline?
No. That was just a heavy sigh.
Okay. We're all sighing heavy. It's just not getting any better. Okay, so let's take another quick break. And we had an interview last week from Jeannie Burleson. We're going to play that again. And she had some great information about the Blue Way and what it does and what it's all about. And we'll be right back as soon as I can find my commercials. There we go.
Have you joined Missouri Grassroots Coalition yet? The results of the 2012 election proved that the grassroots conservatives need to work harder to make their voices heard in government. The best way for Missouri conservatives to make their voices heard is to join together within the Missouri Grassroots Coalition Network and show our elected that we are a strong, unified, conservative voice in Missouri. Go to the website, MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, and click on the Join tab. Give us your contact information so that we can keep you updated on the latest developments in Jefferson City and beyond. Also, sign up for GrassFire Alerts so that you can get immediate notifications when we need to call grassroots conservatives together in action. Use the MGC network to help your grassroots organization speak with a louder voice combined with grassroots groups across the state. Together, we can strengthen the conservative voice in Missouri.
The affirmative task we have now is to actually create a new world order, because the global order is changing again. And the institutions and rules that worked so well in the post-World War II era for decades, they need to be strengthened.
And the government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
We're back. This is Lisa Payne-Niggers, Missouri Grassroots Radio, Culture Vigilante. Cindy and Caroline are here with me. And before we go to this Jeannie Burlesworth interview, I want to kind of plug a couple things from Missouri Grassroots. Last year, we raised some funds here at Missouri Grassroots Radio for a philanthropic project that we like to do at Christmas time. It's our Secret Santa promo. We collected $1,000 from patriots across the state of Missouri, and we took that money on Christmas Eve and paid off the layaway accounts of some families who couldn't afford to buy toys for their kids. So we would like to be able to do that again this year. So if you have the opportunity to send us a couple of dollars, we're not asking for a big donation, just, you know, if just a few people from across the state of Missouri or beyond sent us just $5, you would really help out a lot of families across the state of Missouri who can't really keep the magic of Christmas alive for their kids. Times are tough. Times were tough last year, folks. Times are going to be a lot tougher this year. And Obamacare kicks into effect, I think, in October. Funds are going to be short for everybody. So, help us buy a few toys for a few kids across the state and keep, you know, Obama has killed so many of the great dreams of this country. Let's not spoil Christmas for children, too. So go to the Missouri Grassroots Coalition.org, click on the Secret Santa tab, and give us a few dollars. You can send us a check. You can send money through PayPal, or you can send checks, send us a money order. And every cent that we collect goes to the Secret Santa Fund. Every dime is spent on the kids. So if you have an opportunity to do that, please send us a few dollars. Also, a couple of months back, we had the great opportunity to have Lauren Spivak here in the St. Louis area in St. Charles County. He gave a great two-night seminar on free market principles. It was fantastic. And while you would think sitting in a seminar for two nights on free market principles and monetary issues would be about as dry as toast, it was not. He is a very entertaining man. Great information about the history of the country and the founding principles of the economy and capitalism. Was a great to have. We had a lot of high school kids attend, but a lot of parents brought their high school kids to the seminar. It was fabulous, and I brought my high school kids along, and they really enjoyed it. And it was very entertaining. It was very informative, and it's the kind of information that you're not going to get in an institutional school. So they're not teaching this stuff in the schools, folks. They can't get it anywhere else. He was fabulous. So anyway, he's coming back to St. Peter's, Missouri, St. Charles County, in August. The last week in August, he's going to be at the Family Vision Library. I'll have more information up on that as time goes by. I just want to make you aware of it. It's a free seminar. So if you missed the first one, come to the second one is a continuation of the first one. But if you didn't make the first one, you won't be in the dark. It's a great continuation. You can attend this one and not be lost. So the last week in August, and I'll have to look that up to tell you exactly when that is. But I'll have all that information up at Missouri Grassroots Coalition, and just plan on that. After you've sent the kids off to college, come. You'll have a couple of free nights. The kids will be in school. Come on out here, Lauren Spivak. So anyway, as I said, last week we had a great interview with Jeannie Burlesworth of Secure Arkansas. She was fabulous. So much great information about the Blue Way. We have that interview for you again tonight in case you missed it last week. Take a listen to this. We're back. This is Lisa Payne-Nager. You're listening to Culture Vigilante on Missouri Grassroots Radio. I'm here joined tonight by Caroline Miller, the news junkie of the grassroots movement, and Jeannie Burlesworth of Secure Arkansas. Jeannie has been working on this issue for quite some time. She's been up on this long before it was on any of our radar. You can go to arkansas.securetherepublic.com to find out more information. But right now, we want to welcome Jeannie to Missouri Grassroots Radio. Thank you for being with us tonight.
Oh, you're welcome, Lisa. And just they can just go to securearkansas.com or Secure the Republic for Missouri if they, you know, if they want to keep track of what's going on. But I want to say that we are definitely getting some national attention here, Lisa and Caroline, because of our strategy that's deployed here in the state. We've got 50 counties here in Arkansas. There's 75. And we've got 50 counties that's active in getting information to their here in Arkansas, county judges and JPs, of course, there in Missouri, it's the county commissioner, you know, is what
right.
they call it up there. But we're very active, and we've had 12 counties pass our resolution that basically notifies the federal government that the local authorities want, you know, transparency. They want to be notified, and before these orders comes down from on high, they want to know about it.
So
we're having tremendous success here.
Well, that's awesome, and we're going to have Ike Skelton on a little bit later to tell us how we're doing on the Missouri side of things. But let's back up. Let's give a history for anybody who's just now tuning in and has not heard about the White River watershed issue. Kind of give me a history about how this developed and how long this has been going on, because you guys are very far advanced in your movement there.
Well, here's what it is this has been coming down the pike for decades. It's just it's trickled, and it's been phased in, and unfortunately the public has had their head in the sand, but it's all about property rights, and it's all about water control. Control the water, control the people. I'm just trying to, you know, put it where the public can understand it, but that's really what it's all about. And you see this really war that's being fought for many years now, because the history of this, it was Ozark Man and Biosphere that came about in the 90s, and it was a failed nomination. Then they nominated the Buffalo River here in Arkansas for a biosphere, and that nomination failed, and it's the same carbon copy plan, only now instead of biosphere, it's Blue Way, and it's a bigger scope. Like Caroline said, one-third of Arkansas and one-fifth of Missouri.
It's phenomenal. It boggles my mind. It's so hard for me to wrap my mind around it that the government is that has gotten that out of control that it's trying to encroach on that much of the population, that the country. I mean, thousands of people are going to be put out of homes.
Well, you know, that's their longer term goal, and it is going to be about relocation, because we can look around right now. I can't drive through Missouri or Arkansas and not see with my own eyes that the rural areas are suffering tremendously. The small businesses there are suffering tremendously. And, you know, you can drive through a small town now and say, well, you know, there used to be a lot of restaurants here, but they're not anymore. There used to be a school here, but there's not anymore. And so, you know, that's what we're facing, is the public has got to get it in their head. It's time for action, not education. You know, it's
absolutely.
Time. Hey, the trumpet's been sounding for a long time now. And if you're just now, if you're in the audience and you're just now hearing about this, then get up off your seat if you're in Missouri and start calling your congressman, and here in Arkansas, because Caroline had just stated, I heard some of the things she said, that, you know, their congressmen are coming out really asking for this secretarial order to be withdrawn. But here in Arkansas, we haven't heard from our congressmen yet, so we need to pick up those phones here, Arkansans. Let's get our delegation, our federal delegation, on the ball.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I'm on your website, and I'm looking at this map of all of the counties that are affected by this watershed, and it is just phenomenal. Most of the city of Springfield in Missouri, all of Table Rock Lake. Now, I mean, what that's going to do for revenue, I mean, that is a huge, huge tourist attraction area. That's just going to shut that right. You can't shut down Branson, Missouri. I mean, that's insane.
Well,
you know,
I know they're saying that, but let me say Branson has tried to raise up, because I love Branson and I go there a lot, but my whole point is that it's tried to raise up and develop, and if you'll notice, it gets squashed back. It's just like, get back. And here's the deal. We're going to have to face up to what the long-term end game is, and it's really hard to talk to the public about the end game of this, but the end game of this is going to end up no human carbon footprint, because in their own papers, where they're talking about what a blue way system does that was put together by the Nature Conservancy, you know, they talk about effective corridor. Well, when you take up one-third of Arkansas and one-fifth of Missouri, that's going to be their effective corridor. And that what it says even what they're going to do with that is basically put it back into wetlands and forests is the couple of words that comes to my mind right now. And that's what they're developing is wetlands and forests. So we're gonna have to face some of those consequences, Lisa. And I don't know. I really don't know if I have time to get into everything that I think they're gonna deploy. But it could be very serious consequences when you know this is turned into wetlands and forest. And I know a lot of people up there in Missouri sandwiched in between the Mark Twain National Forest.
Oh my, yeah, absolutely. Oh, okay. So like the Mark Twain National Forest in northern Missouri?
I'm talking about this is what's going to happen. Just like Caroline was saying, they can take a watershed, and the way that this has been done, which is bypasses federal law, by the way, and, you know, we didn't have any congressional oversight that was notified of, you know, this secretarial mm-hmm. order that came down the pike. Our state representatives were not notified. Our local government is like, what in the heck's going on, because it's not been transparent. And let alone the people. Most people have never heard about a blue way until now.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's phenomenal. So what? Tell me, what do you think? How do you think that they're going to deploy this operation if they're successful?
Well, I think just looking at the 63-page document that we put up and looking at their short-term goal, according to the, you know, this was put together, like I said, by the Nature Conservancy and some of the game and fish. Let me just tell you before I get into that, because I don't want to run out of time, because I want to tell you the latest development here in Arkansas that's just come down the pike.
You have plenty of time.
Okay. Well, anyway, if you go on Arkansas Game and Fish right now, June 19th, that's today, they just released this new article, and it's all about Arkansas's newest natural area, they call it, and wildlife management area, and it's called Devil's Eyebrow. So people in northwest Arkansas, this is heads up for you if you're listening right now. But this came about from the Arkansas Natural Heritage Commission and Arkansas Game and Fish Commission. And it was designated just a new type of protected area on May 1st. So this is brand new. And this is almost 2,000 acres. And it says it's open to the public, but you have to walk. And you can read about it on Arkansas Game and Fish if you go there right now. It says no cars or trucks, no terrain vehicles, no horses and mules can be used by anyone. Now see, this is why I'm saying they start incrementally. They start phasing mm-hmm. out places, and of course the Natural Heritage Commission and the World Heritage Commission has been doing that across the globe for many years.
Okay, so tell me again, who is it specifically that has designates these areas to be, marked off as natural reserves?
Well, one player is Arkansas Natural Heritage Commission.
And who are they?
Well, they're just a branch of like Arkansas Game and Fish Commission. You know, they're just a state agency that goes in and let me finish reading this because. It tells you right here in their article, and you can read about it. Of course, they're limiting hunters. They say Devil's Eyebrow may be limited to archery hunting only for deer in the future. So see, the hunters that carried shotguns when they were hunting for deer in that area may not get to do so, according to this article here that they just put out. And they say Devil's Eyebrow was obtained, now that's 2,000 acres, by two state agencies, through a route that has been successful a number of times in recent decades. So they're saying many decades, this is how it's done. This is how land is acquired. They say basically when owners want to sell the land and before it has a downturn in the residential development, if they indicate a willingness to sell, the Nature Conservancy goes in and steps forward and buys it until and it says this in the article, until Natural Heritage and Game and Fish could arrange funds for purchase. So, see, that's how some of these areas are acquired, and that's how they get a foothold.
So, Jeannie, what exactly do you think is the agenda of the federal government for doing this? I mean, I realize part of this is, you know, or most of it is Agenda 21 stuff. But is the federal government also looking to make money off of this? Is some kind of ecotourism kind of thing? Or?
Well, that's what, you know, they're going to pose it. That's part of the propaganda, and the way that they're going to really slip in is they're going to pose it as tourism. But keep in mind, their end game is going to be to keep the public out, just like I talked about here in Devil's Eyebrow. Right now it's open to the public, this 2,000 acres. This just got basically restricted majorly. This is brand new, and most Arkansans don't know about it. But to see, if there's no cars or trucks or, you know, four-wheelers, no horses or mules, that means they're limiting the domestic animals that can go in there already. I mean, my gosh. And see, that was a deer hunter's paradise, but now they're saying in this article that Devil's Eyebrow may be limited to archery hunting only for deer in the future. So that means if they went to hunt squirrels, no go. You know, they're going to limit it to archery hunting for deer. So see, look how they incrementally go in and start imposing these restrictions and regulations in an area, and that's 2,000 acres here in Arkansas right now.
That's huge.
Well, Caroline, let me say here that what we think is happening, because according to the Department of Interior, they say the national designation, the National Blueway designation, has no legal impact on private property. Now, you know, I want to sell you some swampland right now.
Yeah, right.
Because when you begin to look, and this is huge, people don't even understand and begin to understand all the tentacles of the Department of Interior. I mean, I could name off a few, for instance, like Bureau of Land Management, Bureau of Ocean Energy Management, Bureau of Safety and Environmental, of National Park Service, Office of Surface Mining, U.S. Fish and Wildlife, U.S. Geological Survey, and that's just a beginning, because the Department of Interior has international implications, and they are tied up on the world playing stage here. You know, they tie up, that's what they're there for, federal laws and treaties that apply to all U.S. government international activities. Now, this is huge, and we've not even really gone there yet. But one of the reasons, Caroline, what they're saying, from what I can tell, this White River watershed is of international importance because of migratory birds.
And they're not migrating now? That's another thing. I mean, okay, we've seen this with other things. You know, I mean, they make these huge, ridiculous claims that, like, for example, with Common Core, that it's going to, you know, it's going
right.
to better for the betterment of your education, and there's no studies to provide that information, you know, to solidify or to give you any truthful background on that. So is that the way it is here with this? I mean, you know, the birds aren't migrating now, you know? What's the deal? I don't get it.
No, that's good. That's good. Because let me say, first of all, to the listening audience, there's code words that the public doesn't even begin to know the implication of what that means. Like if they say effective corridor, what that means is, you know, this is going to be for habitat and plant vegetation like the fauna and the flora. Forget human presence, because you might step on a plant that doesn't need to be stepped on in this core area. Now, Common Core, right now in Harrison, Arkansas, there's Harrison Core. If you look this up, if you go Google it under harrisonc.o.r.e, you can see that this is another way that they come in communities like they have here in Arkansas and developed a core, and it's for the protection of the Buffalo National River. And again, you know, this history of the Buffalo National River it's been on the international scope for a long time. They've just put that whole White River watershed in it now and enlarged their area. And fortunately, Missouri is in it too.
Yeah, when I was at first researching this whole White River watershed thing, I looked into the whole history of the Ozark Man and the biosphere, and then also the Buffalo National River, which was made a national river back in 1972, and mm-hmm. I was just horrified reading the case studies of, you know, people, landowners, farmers that were, you know, displaced. You know, we're basically the National Park Service said, you'll sell it, or if you don't sell us your land, we'll condemn it and take it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we heard that from Jim Fisher last week, his whole entire story. Yeah. His family lost over 1,000 acres to the federal government when they created Bull Shoals Lake, and I think they're left with about 100 acres. Surrounded by federally owned land.
See, that's my family. That's what happened to my great-grandfather when they backed up to Bull Shoals Lake there in Marion County. I have land up there. I live here in Little Rock, but that's what happened to my great-grandfather, and he was on his deathbed and couldn't really fight it. They offered him such a low ball bottom dollar. That's supposed to be just compensation. Give me a break.
Mm-hmm.
And we lost, oh my goodness, in the family, just a lot of acreage. But now, you know, Carolyn and Lisa, here's what people are going to have to be concerned about is when they turn this back into wildlands, naturally, people are going to be relocated. And,
right.
You know, it looks like we can pretty well guess what's going to happen on what they're going to start with here for the wetlands is breaking these low head dams 25 feet and under. And you can go right to the center of this watershed and see where they're going to start first. I mean, right here in Arkansas and see where they're going to start first, because they have every intention of breaking all the man-made dams, and that includes Taney Como up in Missouri,
what?
Not just Beaver Lake and Bull Shoals and Norfolk here in Arkansas, but these man-made dams, you know, they will break eventually for the wetlands. That's another, you know, consequence that people are not seeing the long-term end game.
Well, yeah. I mean, what are we going to do for food if all of this farmland is being flooded?
Exactly. And see, already they're wanting, according to their own document, this 63-page document, they're already wanting to limit and monitor what the farmers are going to irrigate. So, yeah, if they can't irrigate very much, if they're regulated on that, then, you know, that's going to be less production. And I can see, you know, the World Bank has been crying out for a long time that they don't have enough food reserve in the World Bank. And they would if they had let everybody go. But, see, they intend on creating a food shortage and a food crisis in this end game when it need not be just all in the name of Mother Nature, you know, putting us back to forest and wetland.
Yeah, right. Control the food, control the water, you control the people. And then they'll shuffle all of the people that live in these areas into high-density living areas in the cities, Kansas City, St. Louis, whatever,
mm-hmm.
stack and pack. It's, you know, it's
exactly.
typical. Exactly. It is exactly Agenda 21. A lot of people most of the people that listen to this show understand what Agenda 21 is, but trying to get that kind of information out to your neighbor who's busy taking their kids to soccer practice or picking them up from school or they're, you know, that's just, I don't know, you're just not going to get there.
Right. Right. Well, you know, there's another aspect, too, that I don't think anybody realizes, you know, what's going to happen once this blue way comes into play. And the way this public input came about, Caroline, and I wanted to make sure everybody, all the listening audience understands this, is, you know, anything that gets on the federal registry, it always has 180-day public input. So that's where people are getting this deadline for July the 9th. If you count 180 days from the public registry, you know, time for public input would be up. And I can assure you with this document that we've got on that 63-page document that talks about the 180-foot, you know, vegetative buffer and, you know, surface water, and people aren't realizing what all that means. And, you know, they've not defined it to the public either. I mean, what is that encompassing? Because we think it's – we heard one representative, one official say that he thought that just applied to conservation easements, but I don't believe so. I know it's water control, and it's gonna go deeper than water, I mean, conservation easements. And another thing that's going to happen is because of this Blue Way designation, it opens the door, and that's why, my goodness, the Department of Interior, you know, for them to say it has no legal impact on private property, but it opens the door to huge legal impacts by everybody that has played ball with the federal government, because it ties in all the federal contracts together against the recipients of federal funds. And I'm like, oh, my goodness, no telling what they're going to make these people do that has taken these federal funds.
Well, that's how it works that way along across all lines. It's these appointed departments within the government that are outside the purview of the electorate. They're not elected to their positions. They're appointed by the executive branch, and they operate outside of their legislatures. And they go stomping for federal funds, get federal funds, and always the strings are attached with federal funds. The education is the biggest offender that I can think of besides this. And they just pull the rug right out from underneath you. You have absolutely no way to push back.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Well, I mean, you can see how they've loaded their gun. I mean, I was talking to some different officials today, and they said, well, no new law is on the books. And I'm like, well, what about the old laws? Because this designation coordinates, and out of their own mouth, I mean, this is what the Department of Interior, and I'm quoting them exactly, they say that it aligns programs and activities for watershed resources. So if it aligns programs and activities, and we haven't seen some of those old laws that's already passed through Congress, we haven't seen some of that implemented yet, but we will, because they're just waiting. They've got a loaded gun, and in my opinion, it's aimed right at the property owner.
Yeah, so I mean, what does that mean, programs and activities? What does that mean, programs and activities, Jeannie?
In plain language, it's going to coordinate the game and fish. It's going to coordinate forestry. It's going to coordinate the surveyors and flood control people. And see, when you look at this, we've never seen anything like this in our life, because let me just give an example of what I'm talking about. Most people don't know that here in Arkansas, the game warden, the Arkansas Game and Fish Commissioner, he has state power, arrest powers, that he can arrest for DWI. He can come right in your home and look in your freezer, I mean, without a search warrant. Huge ramifications. So if the state agency has given an officer in their state agency this kind of arrest powers, and this was given by our Arkansas Constitution in the early 90s, if they've given him that kind of arrest powers, what can they do if they interface all of these other agencies, federal agencies and state agencies together? You know, what are they going to police? I mean, what kind of powers are we facing here? We don't know. We don't know, because when you look at the Department of Interior, man, that's a global encompassing agency right now. No wonder they feel their oats and think that they can just bypass everybody.
Yeah. Wow, my head's going to explode. I don't even know what to say to all that. I mean, so for this particular situation, the White River watershed issue, okay, we're, you know, just a couple of weeks away. Jeannie, what can people do? I mean, we are so close to having the noose is tightened around our necks.
Well, you know, here in Arkansas, and you all are doing, Caroline, you all and Ike is doing a fantastic job of coordinating the activity up there in Missouri, and we're coordinating activity here in Arkansas. And what they did in the past when they basically defeated the biosphere was there was such public outcry, and they demanded that Game and Fish withdraw support back then before the Department of Interior could impose that Man and Biosphere program. So, see, before this Blue Way gets imposed, we could demand that Arkansas Game and Fish, and I guess you've got Missouri Conservation up there, withdraw support, and that's what we need to be, and looking to our governors to do the same, and calling our congressmen, because I think I'm going to be doing a program with Congressman Brasso tomorrow, and the Western Caucus, basically, there was 24, 25 of them that got together and, you know, faced off with the Department of Interior, and they sent a letter and said, you know, no, so it stopped the Yellowstone River from being taken over as a designated area. So we can do the same thing here, and the battle is to our back doors. That's why we've got to get to these county commissioner meetings up in Missouri and quorum courts here in Arkansas and battle locally, because we're doing an article right now on how to empower the JP and show all the power that they really have, because I don't even think the JPs knows the power that they have here in Arkansas. And the county commissioners can do the same thing. They can fight, because when the county commissioner, for instance, when they call their congressman, and I bet that's what's been going on for Long and Smith and all of these congressmen up in Missouri, Blunt, I bet he's been contacted by people and by county commissioners. My goodness, it heads begin to turn. Things begin to slow down. And see, we don't have delusions of grandeur, but we do believe we can buy time.
Well, that would be the best thing. But, okay, so if we can avoid this train wreck in July, what's the next step after that?
Well, we're going to have to keep on. Then we go back to educating the public, being, participating more at the local level. Now, this is what people do not want to do. You know how people hate to go to their meetings, school board meetings included. They just don't want to sit there through all the minutia of all of the junk that comes through there. But unfortunately, that's going to have to happen, because if you want some say so about your land, you're going to have to participate.
Yeah,
that's it.
And really just educate the people in that area, just that they are going to lose their land. They will be kicked off their land. It happened before, and it'll happen again.
Matter of time, just a matter of time.
Okay.
And, I mean, even if we defeat this, I mean, I think I've heard what Minnesota and Indiana and Alabama, they're talking about blue ways there too.
Yeah, they've got them designated for all 50 states. But let me say this. The strategy that we are deploying as Missouri and Arkansas right now hasn't really been approached in other states, and they're looking, all eyes are on the heartland here. I mean, it's like save the heartland, because if we don't save the heartland, we know there's no hope for us. So, see, we've taken this resolution, and we've sent it through Secuta Republic to some of the other states that are battling off the Department of Interior and Department of Agriculture and Corps of Engineers right now. Because that's that contract, that MOU is what that is. And if that contract, you know, gets in effect, I mean, wow, it's going to be harder to stop if we don't have tremendous public outcry right now. So listeners better do something. And Caroline, I don't know up there in Missouri, but they're welcome to call here. We'd be glad to work with them, send any package that needs to be sent. They can call Secure Arkansas. I mean, there is a contact number, 501-821-6100.
Okay.
Okay.
Caroline,
right.
I don't know if you have one up there or what he wants to give out, but people need a live voice to talk to in this type of a crisis we're in.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. I have been very good about giving out his information and coordinating that effort. We're going to have him on again in a few minutes to help give us an update on that. Jeannie Burlesworth, I can't thank you enough for coming on. You came on at the last minute today. I called you this morning. Thank you for coming on and giving us an update on this situation, and we really appreciate it. It's very serious, and thanks for working with us here in Missouri to help get the word out. We appreciate your time and efforts.
Sure, and we thank you for a program such as this, and thanks, Caroline.
No matter what time of year it is, it's never too early to start preparing for the holidays. And here at Missouri Grassroots Coalition, we're thinking of Christmas now. Why? Because we've set an ambitious goal for ourselves to raise $2,000. That's right, we want to raise $2,000 in 2013 to help some Missouri families who may be struggling in this Obama economy to provide a magical Christmas morning for their children. Last year, in 2012, Missouri Grassroots Coalition touched the lives of 15 families because of the generosity of conservatives across the state who provided us with the means to pay off their layaway accounts on Christmas Eve. This year, we'd like to be able to help twice that number of families, and we're asking you to help us with that goal. Please go to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org and click on the Secret Santa tab. All the details are there for you to send us what you can by PayPal, check, or money order. We want to thank all who contributed last year for their generosity and hope that you will all help us continue to prove that charitable giving works best in a constitutional republic.
You live here?
Yes.
Well, maybe you know what a zombie is.
When a person dies and is buried, it seems there's certain voodoo priests who have the power to bring him back to life.
Horrible.
It's worse than horrible because a zombie has no will of his own. You see them sometimes walking around blindly with dead eyes, following orders, not knowing what they do, not caring.
You mean like Democrats?
Our well-being at home and our leadership abroad are inextricably linked. Our friends and allies must again be able to trust us. From Israel to Colombia, from Poland to the Philippines, our allies and friends have to know that we will be reliable and consistent and determined. And our foes can have no reason to doubt our resolve, because peace really does come through strength.
Just when you thought it was all over, when you thought it was time to hang it all up, Lisa is back.
Well, it is kind of time to hang it up, folks. We've been stood up by Peter Kinder. I know I told you he was going to be on tonight, but he didn't show. Sorry to hear that. Maybe he'll come back on next week and give us a better update after tomorrow's hearings. Peter, if you're out there listening, you know, we're waiting for you. Happy to have you on. Give us an update. Tell us. I think what's happening is he's probably gone out and rented a U-Haul truck, and he's taken out that equipment. He's going to all the DORs tonight, and he's taking the equipment out of all the DORs. So he couldn't be on the air with us tonight, folks, but I'm sure he'll be back. He'll be finished by next week, so he'll come back on the air with us, and we'll hear about what's going on and maybe his campaign plans for 2014. Who knows? Anyway, ladies, thank you so much for being here. Oh, before we go, I want to talk a little bit. Let's see, what else do we need to know about what's going on? Oh, next week is July 3rd. So the day before Independence Day, have you guys got anything going next week? How are you going to celebrate your Independence Day?
I haven't really thought that far. I forgot about the 4th of July.
Oh, no.
Chuck and I are going to our new property down at the lake next week that we're going to be moving to in August and demolishing a broken-down old trailer on there so we can make way for the foundation in our new home there. And so we're going to be spending the 4th of July and the next week down there working on that. So
fireworks?
Kind of exciting.
Are there fireworks
at the
lake? Yeah, that'd be fun. That'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
I'm going to be doing with my kids. We're going to try to find some place to go and see the fireworks. There's a couple of fireworks shows around here. We'll hit at least one of them. And there's a great neighborhood fireworks show that we go to every year, too, so we'll hit that as well. pray for no rain.
It's a good time to really reflect on and talk to our kids about and our grandchildren about what our independence really means. And, what, you know, I think it's a good opportunity to really share with our families and our and friends that may be with us and so forth, you know, kind of talk about what this country means to us and what it's worth. What does it mean to you? Is it, what is it worth to you to stand up and try to fight to restore what we're losing and to stop what's happening?
It's kind of scary. You know, I mean, we have lost so much in the last year. People do not even realize how much of the liberty that we've lost in the last year, and makes you kind of wonder, where are we going to be this time next year? Will we even be celebrating Independence Day this time next year? Who knows? A lot could change in a year, you know. A lot could happen.
And if we are, who's going to have redefined it for us and given it a new meaning?
Right. Or do take our meaning back.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I don't recognize my country anymore.
Nope. Hopefully, it'll turn around in the other way in our favor. Hopefully, we'll be moving some biometric data equipment out of some Department of Revenue offices. That'd be a great step in the right direction.
I'm here to help for that.
I'm pretty torqued about. I'm charged up about that whole situation. I'm going to be a geek, and I'm going to listen to the stupid podcasts for, over the next couple of days over the DOR issue. And I just know what's coming, though. It kind of makes me mad to think about it, but I'm going to listen anyway. So hopefully next week we'll have some more updates about that. We'll look for Lauren Spivak information, the Free Market Warrior. I'm going to have some stuff about that. And folks, if you want to hear these podcasts, a lot of people do not understand. Missouri Grassroots Radio is podcasted. So you can go back and listen to any of the previous episodes of any of the Culture Vigilante episodes, or Dave's Hour of Truth, or Cynthia Davis's Homefront. She's on Tuesday evenings. You can go back and hear anything that has gone on from our inception. Go to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, click on the radio tab, and we're all right there. You can click on any of our shows, and all of our podcasts are listed there. You can also go to culturevigilante.wordpress.com. I also have a radio page there where I keep all of my podcasts, so feel free to do that and share them with your friends, folks, because there's been a lot of great information over the last year and a half or so about Missouri issues and beyond. And what we're trying to do here is build a good coalition. I know we are, like we said at the very beginning of the show, we are so tired of doing this. And we've talked about this before here on Culture Vigilante. If you want to take back control of your country, you're going to have to do it yourself. You can no longer rely on the elected officials of this country to do that for you. They are not working in your best interest. You're going to have to take control of the situation yourself, and voting it out of control is the best way to do it. But you know, we don't have the numbers of people are not voting, so we have to go outside the Patriot bubble. You know, we have been kind of talking to ourselves for 4 years or so. You've got to start reaching out to your neighbors. So go and copy these podcasts and put them on your email list and send them around to folks, and take stories off of MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org and send them around to folks. Get that information. Go to our Facebook page and start sharing that information with people that are outside of the network here, and grow this network. Because if you don't start growing this network, folks, I mean, they're already, look at what they're doing, and it's been happening so fast, and we have to have numbers. It's all, politics is all about numbers. You either have votes or you have money, and we don't have the money. We've got to take it over with the people. So go outside the bubble, expand your horizon, expand the listening base, expand the reading base, spread that information. I mean, look at what a great job the Patriot movement has done and the grassroots movement has done in the last 4 weeks to expand the information about the Blue Way situation. You know, and we have made enough noise. Now we've got the poor elected officials worried about it. They've at least picked up the ball and started to make some noise about it, so they know that it's important enough. The grassroots movement is important enough, because we've jumped up on this issue, that they are at least acknowledging it. So we can make it happen. I know a couple years ago, Caroline was the facilitator of bringing down the China hub. You're the first person who broke that information. And because you spread that information out to the folks in the movement, they failed in getting the China hub through that year. Now they probably got it through this year because nobody was watching, but
well, we didn't get it for a year.
What?
Well, and you know, something too that I just want to say. We've all talked about being tired, and I think, you know, I think I heard a collective sigh from your listeners when we were talking about that and kind of agreeing with us. But I'm reminded of what one of our founders said: the price of freedom is eternal vigilance.
Mm.
And we really need to keep that in mind. And we did not get her overnight, but we did get here because too many of us have not been vigilant for many generations. And I don't think that this is something that we can look at and say our need to be involved, informed, and to stay on top of things. I'm not thinking that that's going to end in my lifetime, the need to do that. So I think we're in it for the long haul, and we just really need to focus on it in that way and pace ourselves so that we don't burn ourselves out.
You know, one interesting thing that I have noticed, and it's just been in the last couple of months, there are increasing numbers of young people who are waking up and paying attention. I was in the hardware store last week, and I had one of my T-shirts on, you know, my conservative T-shirts, and he this kid remarked on it, and he just like kind of gave me the thumbs up, and I'm thinking, you know, you're a kid, you're not much older, you're probably around the same age as my kids, you know, high school, a little bit beyond high school, college age kids, you know, and they're starting to pay attention to those issues. You know, the conservative message is starting to ring true. I mean, I know when I was that age, I couldn't have cared less. I had no idea what was going on. So I think that's a real inspiring message there. And if you have the opportunity to not only speak to your peers, your adult peers, go a little younger. Start talking to those young kids and start, because they're not going to get that message in schools. And in fact, they're getting the opposite message in schools. And really, the reality is the left has been so good at penetrating that genre, where they've kind of dominated that, they've dominated that area of our culture, and indoctrinated that generations and generations through that genre. You've got to counteract that by sticking up for that yourself and start talking to the kids.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, folks, I think that's going to wrap it up for us tonight. I have absolutely no idea what's on deck for next week. Maybe Peter Kinder will be on deck for next week. It'd be kind of nice, you know, it'd really be kind of, maybe I'll give Bill Federer a call and see. He's always got something great. I'm sure he'd have something great for the Independence Day. Let's see if we can get him on next week. I don't know. He may not be available. We'll try. Anyway, folks, thank you for listening in. Again, we're here every Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. Please go to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. Take a look at our Secret Santa page. Go to the radio page and join our membership there so that you can be updated instantly when things go out on our website, and you can get grass fire alerts. Sign up for grass fire alerts and tell your friends about us, because we want to grow our numbers. We want to grow our force. You don't have to abandon your other groups, but we want to kind of be an umbrella where all groups can gather and work together. We've done that successfully on many issues. This Blue Way issue is certainly one of those issues where we've helped to spread the word from the great work that other groups are doing. So go to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org and take advantage of the information there. And until next week, have a great week. Reach out to others, and we'll talk to you next week.
Missouri Grassroots Radio is brought to you by the Missouri Grassroots Coalition, a cooperative of independent Missouri groups whose aim is to restore constitutional government. Visit us at MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, check out our Facebook page, and follow us on Twitter. You can contact us anytime at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. God bless and keep you till next time we meet.
Mom!